Well, good morning, everybody. Welcome this morning to our service. Paul is leading our service today, so I will hand over to Paul to take us through the service. Paul.
Thank you, Adrian. Nice to see you all. Nice to be reminded of the good old days, isn't it, eh? When we used to freeze to death on a Sunday morning. I'm going to start by reading a couple of verses from Psalm 100, just to remind us that we're here to praise and to worship God. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness and come before him with joyful songs. And our first hymn this morning is Over a Thousand Tongues to Sing. Let's bring our time of worship now to God. Let's pray. Father God, we do so miss the ability to be able to gather together physically and to sing your praises, Father, as a congregation. But yet, Father, that doesn't prevent us from singing our praises individually. And as we've just done now, Lord, to do it in a way, Father, that's perhaps different from what we've been used to before. But Father, today we want to bring you our praise and our worship to show you that we love you, Lord, that you are the God and Father of all things, that you created the heavens and the earth. You created, Lord, each one of us, and you created it for your glory and for your pleasure. And Lord, today we want to join, Father, with all the Christians that are meeting together, Lord, like we are on Zoom, Father, this morning, and to worship you and to show you, Father, our love for you. And we thank you, Father, that you sent your Son, Jesus, that he, Lord, is the reason, Father, why we're able to meet today, because of what he did for us upon the cross. And we just pray, Lord, that through the salvation, Father, that Jesus gives us, that we in turn, Father, are able to live the kind of lives that you want us to be. And so, Father, wherever we are, whatever we're doing this morning, just be with us. Just bless us, Father. May we know your Holy Spirit, and go with us, Father, and help us to worship you today in spirit and in truth, in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, I don't know if you remember, a few weeks ago, Adrian talked about his miniature world. So I thought I'd share my miniature world with you this morning. As you know, I'm a model railway enthusiast. And on the screen, hopefully you can see them, are a few model railway pictures. And it's a great thing making a model railway. And, you know, it makes me think, you know, when God created the world, that you know, he created everything in it, and he created you and me because he wanted it to be the way that he wanted it. But, you know, our lives are never as straightforward as all that, are they? And one of the things I've noticed when I'm building and using my model railway is that things never go according to plan. And one of the most common things that tend to happen is that the trains tend to come off the track. And it's quite a common occurrence, this is. It's usually due to bad track laying, or to dirty rail sometimes, or sometimes the train's just going too fast around the bends, and then they derail and come off at a certain point. But, you know, our lives are a bit like that, aren't they? You know, we have a time when things seem to be going swimmingly, when we're trundling along without a care in the world, and all of a sudden we suddenly find ourselves going off the rails. Things don't go quite as we would want them to. And life's like that, isn't it? You know, life's not always straightforward. It's full of twists and turns, and very often it's our own fault that we go off the rails sometimes as well. And sometimes it's just circumstances, things that just force us onto a different thing, and things, life just seems to come to a bit of a halt. Now, I don't know if you know, but in the world of model railways, when trains come off the track, there are various ways in which you can get them on. Sometimes trains come uncoupled, and you've got various tools and things that you can use to couple trains back up again. But one of the most reliable methods of getting the trains back on the rails is called, and I kid you not, this is what it's called. It's called the hand of God method, believe it or not. And basically, you just use your hands and put the the trains or the wagons or the coaches or whatever it is that's come off the rails, and you put them back on the track. And it's the most reliable method, because it's very difficult actually to for a model train to put itself back on the track without any outside intervention. And sometimes we remind ourselves that we need to have God in our lives to get us back on the track again. And, you know, it's easy to try and do it in our own strength and to try and do the things in our own way. But model railways just help to remind me, I think, on how reliable we are on God's hand in our lives. He's the one that helps us to get through our life and to put us back on the right path. So just think about that, that we do need to rely on God more and more, I think, for the everyday things in our lives. Anyway, I hope you enjoyed that. And I'll, if you want to see some more of my model railway pictures, I'm sure I can oblige at some time, those of you are interested. Anyway, we're going to turn now to our first reading, which will be read by Trevor from the book of Isaiah.
So we're reading from the book of Isaiah, chapter 40, and verses 21 to 31. Do you not know? Were you not told long ago? Have you not heard how the world began? It was made by the one who sits on his throne, above the earth and beyond the sky. The people below look as tiny as ants. He stretched out the sky like a curtain, like a tent in which to live. He brings down powerful rulers and reduces them to nothing. They are like young plants, just set out and barely rooted. When the Lord sends a wind, they dry up and blow away like straw. To whom can the Holy God be compared? Is there anyone else like him? Look up at the sky. Who created the stars, you see? The one who leads them out like an army. He knows how many there are and calls each one by name. His power is so great, not one of them is ever missing. Israel, why then do you complain that the Lord doesn't know your troubles or care if you suffer injustice? Don't you know? Haven't you heard? The Lord is the everlasting God. He created all the world. He never grows tired or weary. No one understands his thoughts. He strengthens those who are weak and tired. Even those who are young grow weak. Young people can fall exhausted. But those who trust in the Lord for help will find their strength renewed. They will rise on wings like eagles. They will run and not get weary. They will walk and not grow weak. Here ends the Old Testament reading.
Thank you, Trevor. Our next song picks up some of the words that Trevor wrote in that last reading, Everlasting God.
Upon the Lord we will wait, upon the Lord we will wait, upon the Lord.
Listen to our second reading, which is from the New Testament, which Mary's going to read.
Okay, the reading is called Jesus Heals Many People. Jesus and his disciples, including James and John, left the synagogue and went straight to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was sick in bed with a fever, and as soon as Jesus arrived, he was told about her. He went to her and took her by the hand and helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. After the sun had set and the evening had come, people brought to Jesus all the sick and those who had demons. All the people of the town gathered in front of the house. Jesus healed many who were sick with all kinds of diseases and drove out many demons. He would not let the demons say anything because they knew who he was. Very early the next morning, long before daylight, Jesus got up and left the house. He went out of the town to a lonely place where he prayed. But Simon and his companions went out searching for him. And when they found him, they said, "Everyone's looking for you." But Jesus answered, "We must go on to other villages round here. I have to preach in them also, because that is why I came." So he travelled all over Galilee, preaching in the synagogues and driving out demons. Thanks be to God for this word.
Thank you, Mary. We're just going to have a think, really, about some of those words that Mary's just wrote, read in that that passage. Now, I can't believe that, you know, we've been in lockdown now for nearly a year in one form or another, And I must admit, I thought that I'd have a bit more time to spare, actually. But somehow or other, the opposite seems to be true. I seem to be kind of busier than ever doing this, that and the other. What with preparing for services and what have you, and for different things. And somehow or other, I seem to have got the job of treasurer of our church back at the moment, due to our current treasurer deciding to step down. So I'm just wondering kind of how that's sort of come about somehow. But, you know, I'm sure all of us have got lives that can be very busy sometimes, and we get filled up by this, that and the other. And I want to just think about this morning about trying to get our priorities right and trying to get some perspective about what God wants us to do. So I've got 3 points really to us to think about this morning, which I've sort of based on this passage that Mary's just read. And it kind of describes a bit of a typical day, isn't it, in the life of Jesus's ministry. The first thing I think is that this passage teaches us is that God wants us to be busy. Now, when you think that Jesus's ministry only lasted about 3 years, and the things that we read about in the Bible are probably only a fraction of the things that Jesus actually said and did during that time. And in this passage from Mark chapter 1, we can see just in the space of sort of 24 hours, Jesus did lots of things. You know, in the morning he was preaching and teaching in the synagogue. And after he left the synagogue, he went to heal Peter's mother-in-law. And in the evening, it says that he healed many other people as well. And he was also involved in casting out demons. And the following morning, he didn't stop there. He got up early and went off somewhere quiet to pray. You know, although Jesus was both human and God, whilst Jesus was here on earth, he could only be in one place at a time, couldn't he? You know, he'd have the same limitations that you and I have got. You know, I'd like to be able to do lots of things at once. Apparently, Sandra reckons that women are good at doing more than one thing at once, but men aren't. But
you're not.
No. And I must admit, I'm not actually. I can only tend to focus on one thing at once, actually. I'm not very good at multitasking at all. But you know, Jesus was very good at prioritizing. He had the sense to know what was important and what was not, and to know the things that he needed to be concentrating and spending his time on. And it's a question, I think, for us today, isn't it? You know, have we got our priorities right? Are we spending our time doing the things that God wants us to do? Or are we just doing the things that suit us, that give us an easy life, perhaps, or, you know, just satisfy our needs and our feelings and things? I know God gives each one of us individual gifts, and, you know, those gifts, I think, ought to be used to glorify God and to be spent on the things that God wants us to do. But that doesn't necessarily mean that that's the only thing that we can do. Sometimes God wants us to do things that perhaps we're not so good at as well, and to take us out of our comfort zones a bit. So that's the first thing. I think God wants us to be busy for him and to spend time on the right things and be guided by him for those things. The second thing, I think, in this passage that God wants us to do, he wants all of us to serve him. We're all involved in serving him. And even though, you know, we perhaps aren't seeing each other physically at the minute, being a follower of Jesus isn't a solitary occupation. You know, we're all members of Jesus's team, aren't we? And even Jesus, when he was on earth, didn't do everything on his own, did he? He recruited a team of disciples to help him and to spread the mission. And after he went, you know, the apostles got more people involved to spread the word and to do the things that God wanted them to do. And of course, the other thing is that we forget sometimes is that God calls us to do the things that we want us to do. Over the last few weeks, in our lectionary passages, we've seen a number of examples of the different kinds of disciples that Jesus calls to serve and to follow him. So if we are called to follow God, if you're called, if I'm called to do those things, it means that all of us must have a part to play in the priorities that Jesus wants us to do. You know, it's very easy, isn't it, I think, in a church situation, particularly, to kind of leave it all to certain people. You know, there's the old adage, isn't there, that 80% of the work is done by 20% of the people. And in many cases, that's sadly very true. But I think, you know, God wants 100% of the work to be done by 100% of the people. I must admit, I think sometimes this period that we've had as a church here at Kingsthorpe, and particularly with the Baptists not having a minister, has helped us, I think, to examine where our priorities are. It's enabled people to perhaps come out of the woodwork and to do things that perhaps they wouldn't have done normally. And I think it's been a great witness, I think, to the church, the way that people have stepped forward and have done things, and the way that both Baptists and Methodists have stepped forward and worked together. And, you know, when you think over these last 12 months and the things that we've done, I think it's a great credit, I think, and a great witness to our fellowship and the fact that God has been building us and we haven't stopped and stagnated during this time. You know, I know many churches that have really struggled during this last 12 months and, you know, really finding it very difficult. So I think we just need to thank God that God is building us and he's with us and he's helping us to use the gifts that he's giving us. The third thing I think that Jesus is teaching us in this passage is that we need to make time for God. And despite being very busy, Jesus made time for God. Now, I don't know about you. Come up the third point up. That's it. And Jesus, God wants us to have some downtime with him. You know, we do need a bit of time, don't we? Just to kind of gather our thoughts and to renew our strength. You know, if you think about that verses from Isaiah that we heard earlier, that, you know, God lifts up and strengthens those who are weary. Now, what about you? I'm sure some of you are what you might call morning people, and some are probably what you might call night people. I'm perhaps more of a morning than a night person, and some people are more night people than morning persons. But Jesus, I think, was both a morning and a night person, wasn't he? You know, and he worked very long hours and did lots of things, but he also spent time and got up early to pray. And in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus prayed well into the night, didn't he? But he saw prayer as vital to enabling him to do the things that he wanted to do. Prayer built him up. It gave him strength to do the work that God had called to him, to recharge his batteries. It was his lifeline. And, you know, it's not only important for us as individuals, but it's also important for us as a church. And I think it's been really good this last 12 months that we've had these times, these prayer meetings during the mornings, during the week, and the prayer charts that that Stephanie has produced to really come to God in prayer and in real time for reflection and building us up together. Because Jesus was a person who was very much in demand. In verses 36 and 37, it says, Simon and his companions went to look for him. And when they found him, they exclaimed, everyone is looking for you. I don't know about you, sometimes I get a bit panicky when I've got a lot on my plate and I've got a lot of things to do and things that need completing on certain times, and everything just sort of seems to get on top of each other. But, you know, it's at those times when perhaps we just need to go to God and ask him to help us to identify what's important and what's not, and just to kind of give ourselves a sense of calm and a sense of serenity to do that. Because Jesus went into a solitary place, didn't he, to pray, a place where there was nobody, where he could just be alone with God. And it's hard, I think, even in lockdown, I think, I thought I would have more time to spend in prayer and to be with God. And as I said earlier, I think the reverse sometimes is true. And, you know, it's very easy to fill your time up, isn't it, with this, that and the other. And it creates time and discipline to spend some time and to create some space to be alone with God. Perhaps we ought to spend a bit more time just thinking about the life of Jesus, the sort of life that he led, the kind of people that he came into contact with, the sort of things that he did. And I think it might just help us to put our lives in some form of perspective so that we might do the things that Jesus did and to spend more time with God and asking him to help us to focus on the things that he wants us to do. Amen. Before Adrian comes and to leads us in our prayers for others, we're going to have a reflective song now, to be in your presence, not rushing away. This is my desire, O Lord.
We come now to pray. Ever-living God, our Creator and Redeemer, you love us and know us so much better than we know ourselves. With the Word, you created everything, and we know that you will hear us when we pray. Mighty God, we pray for the worldwide church in all its wonderful diversity. We pray for the churches that meet in difficult and dangerous circumstances. And at this time of the pandemic, for all who cannot meet in person, may they feel your abiding presence to give them courage and strengthen their faith. We pray for all who lead and inspire us here at Kingsthorpe, those who visit and pray for the sick and bereaved, and those who carry out the maintenance and administration of our churches. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Creator God, we pray for your world, its people, with all their needs, questions, and longings. So often we struggle to understand things like the coronavirus pandemic, and yet we know that in the midst of such events, your love is shown in the acts of bravery, selflessness, and compassion which follow. We pray for all who work and suffer in such dreadful circumstances, and for those who are tasked with providing medical and community support, and the people who are responsible for the long task of recovery, that we pray grow and be rolled out around the whole earth. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Father God, we pray for our church community, that each one of us might make use of our individual talents, enabling each of us to flourish as a witness to the one body of the church. Help us to spread the warmth of your love to everyone we meet, whether in person or online. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Loving God, we pray for those in need, especially for all who are waiting for treatment, surgery, tests or test results, the housebound, those in care homes, hospitals and hospices, and for all who care for them. We thank you for all our hospital staff and carers, those who love and compassion bring medical, material and spiritual comfort. In a moment of quiet, we bring before you all the people we know who are in need of prayer, or who have asked us to pray for them. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Merciful God, be close to those who feel the pain of the loss of a loved one, whether recent or as each anniversary passes. Help us to support all those who mourn with our prayers, with words of comfort, and where we can, with practical help, as they struggle to come to terms with their loss. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Help us, Lord, during the coming week to live the good news. Give us the will each day to live in life eternal. Let our citizenship be in heaven with the whole company of the redeemed and with countless angels, praising, worshipping, and adoring him who sits upon the throne forever and ever. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, our Saviour Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
Our final song is Lord of All Hopefulness. I'm going to finish today, before we say the grace together, by using the Irish or the Gaelic blessing, which goes like this. It says, may the road rise up to meet you, and may the wind be always at your back. May the sun shine warm on your face. And may the rains fall soft upon your fields. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the palm of his hand. Amen. Mm-hmm. Let's say the grace together. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit with us all be with us all forevermore.
Amen.
Thank you, Paul, for leading our service for us this morning. You've given us much to think about. Our service next Sunday morning at 11 a.m. will be a Zoom service, and it's being led by the Reverend Phil Snelson from the Methodist Circuit. So we look forward to him joining with us next Sunday morning. And all morning prayers are at 11 on Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, as usual. And Sandra, I think you want to say something about our Easter attempts at singing?
Oh, do I? Right. So as we did for Christmas, we did Come All Ye Faithful. We thought we'd do another virtual choir, but not singing Peace for Easter. And my thoughts were thine be the glory. So it's a little bit early to send out the tracks yet, but in the coming weeks, you'll get your tracks. And although Janet and Bob are not in here, Bob is very keen to have a competition between Kingsthorpe and Carey again. So we'll see how it goes. But the track will be sent out with the explanations of how to do it again. And hopefully we'll get as good response as we did last time. And we'll get those videos coming in. And then I can now see Janet and Bob.
Thank you.
I was trying to scan the screen, but yes. So we'll see what happens. But hopefully we'll all participate again.
Yeah, and we've got King's Kids meeting next Sunday morning.
Yeah, right? 10 o'clock on Zoom next Sunday. Yeah, the 14th, 10 o'clock on Zoom. Got all the craft ready to go out this week for them. So, yeah.
Okay.
Well done.
Anything from the Methodist side, Trevor?
Well, I'll just mention that the funeral for Philip Sibley is going to be on Monday the 22nd of this month at 11 o'clock at Kingsthorpe Baptist Church. And obviously that'll be limited to 30 people, but thanks to Adrian, we are planning on Zooming it, and we'll be obviously sending out the details to everybody that might want to join that.
Yes, I intend to use the same Zoom details that we use for our Sunday worship and everything else, forever, because everybody has those details.
Okay.
Helps to avoid confusion about which link people should be following.
Okay, yeah.
Adrian,
yes.
Will that be the same for my members as well? Because obviously that's a different time.
Yeah, no, that's fine. The link works at any time that we want to use. It's a recurring, ongoing meeting, so we can use the same link at any time. So we will just sort of let people know when it is, but it will be the same sort of click and the same identity. It's a lot less confusing, I think, to keep with the one thing rather than that, because I know what it's like when you have a meeting coming up and you sit down 5 minutes before the meeting and you sort of suddenly realise you can't find the right details to link, or you can't find the part.
I've done that.
I've done it as well, yeah. Especially if they only give you the email, then you haven't, you know.
Yeah.
Hi, Daniel.
Okay.
Hi, Daniel.
Okay. So, are there any other notices that anybody has for us this morning?
There it is.
Yeah.
If not, let's greet each other, exchange greetings, and before we go to the rest of our day.
Okay.
And wait for the snow so that we can make the snowman and the snow angel.
Lots of pictures.
Okay. Well, lovely to see you all.
Thank you. Stay warm. Stay warm, Mary, tomorrow.
Thank you. Thank you. Bye bye.
Bye, everybody. Have a good week.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye. Bye.
black.
Hee hee hee.